What's going on, everybody? You're tuned into the More Than Paper Marriage podcast with the Jaspers and Johnsons right here on Transform City Radio. This is the podcast where we discuss the triumphs and challenges of marriages and how we can have a thriving marriage in spite of it all. Because guess what? Life happens to us all, but we have to find a way to get through it. So tune in for these conversations. And we are so glad for you all to be tuning in tonight for this discussion we're going to have on marriages. As I said, the Johnsons and the Jaspers, and we're all about seeing healthy kingdom marriages, not just being married, not just staying married, but thriving in your marriage, enjoying your marriage. For God, for Jesus said in the word of God, he said that the thief cometh death, but to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that you may have life. And the Bible says, the Amplified Classic says, to have and enjoy life to the full till it overflows. And so that means that Jesus said, I've come that you would have and enjoy the life that I've given you, that I died and rose to give you. And so that includes our marriages, right? And so we're going to have this discussion tonight about marriage. The subject that we're coming from is the topic of, is love enough? And it was sparked by a post that I saw by the late, great Dr. Miles Monroe, who I love. I consider to be a mentor of mine. I try to consume everything that he has written. I listen to a lot of his sermons over and over again. And so he had written this post prior to his death. It says, marriage does not need love. A successful marriage has little to do with love. Love is not the qualification for marriage. Love is a dangerous thing. Love can make you think you can make it. Every divorced person was first in love with the person they divorced. So don't tell me love keeps you together. Love does not guarantee success in marriage. Love brings happiness, but doesn't bring what it takes to make a marriage work. The only thing that makes marriage work is knowledge. You feel like you love someone, but you better get knowledge on how to live with them. And we are such a feeling culture that our insanity takes us to the altar, making commitments we know we can't keep. Marriage is not protected by love. Marriage is protected by knowledge. And so we're going to get into that with our thoughts, our opinions, of course, always coming from the word of God. And we may disagree, but we'll disagree and then resolve it through the word of God, because it doesn't matter what our opinion is, what your opinion is. It matters what the word says, because we have been purchased with the high price of the blood of Jesus. And so we submit ourselves to the word of God, despite what our individual thoughts may come to us. And here's the thing that I've learned in life, that's why we need people around us, because we'll think we're right about everything until we bring up what we think around other people. And they may be like, that ain't in line with the word. And so that's the great thing about relationship, that we can have discussions and disagree, but our disagreement is always resolved not by a man's opinion. It's resolved by what the word says, because we are all, as Paul says, slaves for Christ to the word of God. And so I'll ask to the Johnson, my beautiful wife, and the Jaspers as well, in your opinion, based on the statement that Dr. Miles Monroe made, is love enough, Pastor Queen?
And I will say first, because this is almost a trick question, right? So, and I know it has a lot to do with perspective. But first of all, let me make sure that I don't have nothing that's echoing here. First of all, if we're going to talk about love, let's talk about what it is according to the word of God. And God himself said, I am love, right? And so when we study him, it's like, well, what does this mean? Because in our world, it wants to redefine love, and it wants to make love an emotion. And love is not an emotion. Love can produce emotions, but it is not an emotion. Like, that is number one. Love is not an emotion. And how do I know? Because 1 Corinthians 13 tells you what love is. And when you look at those attributes about what love is, you know, it keeps no record of wrong. It is not rude. It is not boastful. Those are actions, not feelings. Okay. So with the question alone on the table, based on biblical reference and definition of love, is love enough? Love is enough, right? If you're going to do it by the world standards, by it being emotional, then absolutely not. It is not enough, because you're already trying to create something from something that's sandy. Anything you try to build on that is going to tumble, because emotions also go up and down. And that's why God doesn't allow love to be an emotion, because he know that at any given moment that emotion can change. That's why you see there's a lot of divorces, and people say that I fell out of love. You shouldn't have fell in it in the first place. When I fall over something, it was by accident. When I fall over something, it's something that I didn't have control over, right? And so I don't need somebody to fall in love with me. I need somebody to love me, meaning that they have committed to doing a continual action to me, right? So that my husband, he loves me. When he says, I love you, it means that I am committing to a biblical definition of love, that I'm going to continually forgive, which is an action on his part, because the Bible says that love keeps no record of wrong. That means he gives me a clean slate like God does. It's not boastful. It doesn't, it's not rude, you know, and we can go into 1 Corinthians 13 to really define that. So you don't need someone to fall in love with you. You need someone to actually love you, because you are going to change. There are going to be times when you are rude. There's going to be times when you don't feel like, just this morning, I had to wake up completely early and my husband had to contend a little bit with my attitude because I'm not a morning person. So 7 a.m. is not prime time for me. And in my mind, I said, keep your mouth shut. Don't even respond, because you know this is pissing you off. Like he is being funny. This is the day the Lord has made. He the morning person. I am not, right? So I know he's just playing, and I know he's joking, and I know he's picking with me because he know I'm not a morning person. But any moment, I still had to say, I can't be rude. This is the moment I can't be rude to him. I need to realize that he's doing this from really a pure place, even though I feel myself cringing. But that's what love is. It's committing to an action. It's not committing to a feeling. There are days when I don't feel like being around him. There's times when I don't feel like I am the greatest wife, or I feel like I'm not enough. Like, feelings always is changing. And so I don't think that, I think that when people get that concept, they have something to actually build on, for real. And then I also will say that your vantage point, you know, I've taught this before, but your vantage point and the capacity that you have to love is truly based on how you love yourself. And people think that I'm just going to give this person as much as I can because I didn't have it before. But it's really because that's a driving factor that you are going after, but it may not still be coming from a pure place. So that's why I think we always have to definitely come into a space where we are being healed on a regular basis, going after our freedom from trauma and experiences and things like that, so that what we do is coming from the vantage point of a healthy place and a healed place, and not a place of, I need to do these things, I have to perform because I'm trying to keep this person. It shouldn't be that, you know, and I think that's an unhealthy relationship dynamic. So that's what I will say to segue into that question. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, you might as well just go ahead and cancel me, because she just said exactly verbatim everything that I've said to her today. So it's like, so yeah, but that's definitely the same thing, exactly what I heard the Spirit say when I was thinking about that today. Like, I hate to even say I disagree with Miles Monroe, because he got so much wisdom. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? But he's human, you know what I'm saying? And my opinion, and his, you know what I'm saying, can be different than his opinion. But I just know that when the Bible says that when you don't have love, you don't have anything. So you know what I'm saying? So I can't see myself, you know, even thinking that you can have a marriage without love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that don't make sense to me, you know? And it's definitely like Pastor Quinn was saying, like, when you look at a different perspective of love. Like when you look at the biblical love, like the world don't have that love. No, they're not really striving to get that love. When you strive to have biblical love, like it's no way you can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't make it work when you both are striving to have, you know what I'm saying, to be that person, or you know what I'm saying, be what God calls love. Like I just don't see that not keeping a marriage. Like, of course, you do supposed to get knowledge. Like I'm supposed to study my wife because she's changing every day. I'm supposed to, but I feel like the knowledge really comes in when you get knowledge of what God is saying about love. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to have that knowledge. Like he is right about that. When he said get knowledge, yeah, get knowledge on what God is saying about love. Because people, you know, when they look at divorces in the church and all of these things, that don't mean they had, just because they was in the church, that don't mean they had biblical love.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's easy. They bring everything else from the world in the church. Why can't they bring worldly love in the church and get married? Right. You know what I'm saying? So we automatically say, well, Christians, they get divorced too. Or, you know, that don't mean they had biblical love. That don't mean that they were strived. Because I know for me, and I'm pretty sure for a whole lot of people, that it's some of the things in there that God is speaking of that kind of ruffles your feathers a little bit. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it, you'd be like, okay, I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that. So some people just don't even strive for that kind of love anymore. They look for something else. Like they look for something else to hold on to. They look for another definition of love, like what their mother told them love was. But your mama might have told you having a good husband is somebody that pays the bills and, you know, make sure that you're protected. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they run with it. And they believe that that's what love is. So, you know, that's just my take on it.
I think what you about to say? Something? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say Sherelle. Go ahead.
So for me, a couple of things. So just to piggyback on what everybody is saying, I agree. I disagree, but not, I don't agree with everything that he said. One thing, Pastor Quinn, you hit a nail on the butt. I think the definition of love has to be solidified. And I think what happens is people are used to falling into infatuation, or we fall into attraction, we fall into lust, we fall into loyalty, we fall into, you know, everything but, you know what I'm saying? We fall into in that sense, and then call it love and say that it's love. We fall into, you know, connection because we, you know, we connect on certain things, so we just leave it at that. We fall into chemistry because you can have chemistry with you can have chemistry with many people. So we fall into chemistry. We fall into, you know, so that's what happens. Therefore, there's a mix up on love. And so like you said, Pastor Queen, when it runs out, then when we feel like it ran out, what ran out is your infatuation. What ran out is y'all connection. What ran out is the chemistry. What ran out is the lust. What ran out is the loyalty. And so that's the mix up. So that's one thing. I think love, now it's a couple of things. So one thing, I think that love has to be the foundation. Like you said, Pastor Queen, it starts with loving God and loving ourselves. And even I think about it, like even with dating, I think about how I just feel like if we as single, you know, as single people could get a grasp on love, and not even just romantic love, but like brotherly love. Because first and foremost, if you are walking in love, it's got to be God, because it's the ideal situation. But I just think about what if all of us walked in love as single people and we treat each other as brotherly love. Because even dating, like I think the dating phase is the phase where you definitely should get knowledge. But when you are taking in that knowledge, we're supposed to view people the way God kind of view them. So even if they are completely wrong. So I say if I'm, you know, even in dating, I say that it's love to tell, it's love to be honest and say, I'm not attracted to you. I don't want to date you. I think it's love to be honest and say, I think it's love to say, I'm tempted by you. We can't be in the same house. I think it's like, if you start there where you have the love of God and you see people as God see them, you want them to walk in their fullness of Christ, even if they're not with you, even if they do wrong. If we start there, then you can, imagine a world where everybody was, you know, they had that sense of love, the godly love, the agape type of love first, and they was walking in it. It would be different. Dating would be different. You would be getting information without trying to get in somebody's bank account. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a different type. Or trying to take sex from somebody, or just trying to get what you can get out of somebody and trying to check your checklist off. I just feel like that's the truth. That's how, and then another thing I was thinking about, and so with that, I was thinking about how knowledge is necessary. Absolutely, because I think love also seeks, like love chases. I feel like I just think about love does, when you have godly love, you want to do all that you can to, when you finally meet your spouse, you want to do all you can to protect them, to provide for, like, it's like you want everything, like, so you want to seek knowledge to be a better wife. So this is what love causes me to say, I need to be a better wife. Let me listen to or read, go get knowledge for real. Yes, biblical knowledge, of course, and supplement your faith with knowledge. So like, I need to be a better wife. Well, let me go to this wife conference. Let me read a book on being a wife. Let me listen to some older wives so I can learn how to be better. And let me listen to my husband and get knowledge from him as to what he needs. But also, and so I think love is the foundation and is necessary. And I think about when you're in a marriage, like you go through things where, yes, you need knowledge, but knowledge ain't going. Like I was reminded of when his father died, and I was thinking about now, if I would have came with knowledge, I would have been like, Elvin, your daddy gone. You gotta come on, and you know, you gotta don't, cause he was checking out. Mm-hmm. And so, in my knowledge, in my understanding, I wanted to be like, you know, I wanted to, you know, kind of just, all right, it's time to pick it up. It's time to come on. We got to come on. Life goes on. Right. But the Holy Spirit directed me to show love and to embrace and not attack with a bunch of knowledge, not come with my steps of how to get out of grief, not overwhelm him with that. So I feel like God's love has to be the foundation. It's the God's love is like it's all encompassing. Mm-hmm. In every area you do, everything that you do within your marriage, God's love has to be the root. And we have to, you know, we have to see, like, his love makes me want to make sure he look like, just a little thing makes me like, I love him so much with God's love. I want you to look your best. I want you to feel your best. I want to keep telling you. I want to keep keeping you accountable. I want to make sure I'm loving you as much as I can. Like, that's what I think about. So I think that love, it, like when he said you only need a little bit of love, I don't think so. I think love is all encompassing, and that everything we do in our marriage should flow out of love. And mm-hmm. and even when we have hard times and we having disagreements, we have to have love to know that this disagreement, we have to choose to love. And this disagreement to not, you know, let an argument take us all away from each other. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what my take on it was.
I'll say this though, to your point, Sherelle, Teacher Sherelle, I think that he's only giving the first part of it, because I think he still has, you know, and I mean, you know, he might not have gotten a revelation to continue, and he's not here. He got the full gamut now because he clearly in the presence of the Lord. But I think that it was only like a snapshot of where we begin, because I look at knowing that love is 1 Corinthians 13 and other scriptures now, I'm just saying, is the beginning of it. I even think that 1 Corinthians 13 is not the beginning and the end of it. I think that when you look at love does not parade itself, do you know how many situations where we could be parading, or, you know, where it says, you know, love is not puffed up, and you know we can get in arguments easily with our spouse and begin to feel like that our way is the only way that we need to go instead of considering the other person, right? I also think that knowledge is just the beginning of learning. I think you have to move from knowledge to wisdom and discernment, because you may know that you may say it is time for Elvin to come up out of this grief. This is starting to linger. But just having knowledge without wisdom, which is the know-how to apply in the right season, and the discernment to know when it is time to actually speak on his behalf because you have the Holy Spirit, I think is not just knowledge. You know, because the Bible uses these words a lot, definitely in Proverbs and Psalms, where they use like it's separate things, knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, they always say you got to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and all of it is encompassed in the Holy Spirit, meaning that he's going to introduce new information to me that is valid and valuable to accommodate this person. But he's going to give me wisdom on how to do it. You know what I mean? Okay, this person need to come out of grief. That's how people, you know how Christians read the word? They're gaining knowledge. But when the Holy Spirit lifts it off of the pages and begins to give you instruction on how to apply it, that's another level of, he's giving me now wisdom and discernment on how to bring this to life. And it's going to look custom. So Christians who only read the word, they only get the letter, but they don't get the spirit, and they don't allow the spirit to actually lift it off and say, this is how it is walked out. I think that's all of what, you know, the Bible is all about and why Jesus come. I'm now lifting the word off the pages and going to show you how to walk this out. And his name is Jesus. Let him be your template. Let him be your, you know, so when you study him, you get how to walk it out. Otherwise, we would have continued reading books. And I think God was like, no, I'm going to come on down, and I'm going to show you what this looks like, you know? And so I think that, you know, it doesn't just stop with knowledge. You know, I know this person, you know, even when you were talking about dating, I was thinking about how when you really, like you said, have like the vantage point of, if I really love this person, first of all, if I love myself and honor myself, I'm going to protect me for destiny's sake, for vision's sake, for honor's sake, because I'm a child of God's sake, for his name's sake, right? So when I get into this dating world and I'm meeting someone, I'm not trying to get into your bed, because my vantage point is that I'm trying to protect myself, and in turn, how I love you by action and not emotion. I may feel like taking these drawers off, but by love, if I'm going to do this right, I need to keep that belt latched and say, bruh, you need to go home. I'm for real. So it's like, that's what real love does. That's what authentic love does, because I'm not going to be the person who is a part of your downfall. I need to be the person that pushes you higher. Y'all can't even come back.
Pastor Queen said,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if I really love you, and Pastor Brad and I's relationship was like that. That's why I know this and can speak it from conviction, because I know I done messed up in former relationships. When I reached this man of God, everything changed. I was in a different space, and he definitely was walking this walk for real. You know what I mean? And so there's just moments where we didn't even kiss until like, I'm talking about like, I don't even know, Bradley. You know the time frames more than I do. But I promise you, it wasn't in the beginning. It definitely, you know what I mean? Like, we was probably about to freaking walk to... No, we was probably going together the second time, wasn't it?
I don't know, Pastor Queen.
But anywho, it wasn't like we protected ourselves from the feelings so that you can clearly see the other person and be able to honor them and respect them because you honor and respect yourself. You know what I mean? And that's why without a vision, the people perish. And another version, it says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. If everybody in your circle don't have boundaries, you know, you eventually ain't gonna have no boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, you have to attract and be around people who are like-minded, you know? And so we had friends who, I had a couple of friends who, you know, they won't really, I was with roommates who won't try to do the dang thing. So it kind of made me bring my walls down. Like, I'm gonna do the dang thing. You know what I mean? But when you get around bona fide Christians, that they help you kind of level up, you know, and get your standards together. So I think it has a lot to do with everything. Like, love is everything. And I think it begins with how you see yourself and what you see in yourself before you can even do it for somebody else.
So I agree with what everybody said, but I'm going to come at it from another approach. So I agree with Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe. And the reason that I do is because I believe everything that we're saying, he was saying as well. But I take it from the context of knowing Dr. Miles Monroe that a lot of times, because somebody just took this quote, but it doesn't reflect what setting he was in. And so a lot of times he was talking to business leaders and all that were not necessarily in a Christian setting, right? Gotcha. And so I think that the definition of what he's saying is exactly what you said, Teacher Sherelle, around the goosebumps, the infatuation. I don't think that he's referring to the love that we know to be love according to the kingdom. And like everybody said, I think that there is, we really should stop using the word love at all, because anything outside of what God defines it is not love, right? It can be infatuation. It could be strong light. It can be chemistry. It can be the newer people using it. We vibe together at the same frequency and all. It can be any of that, but it can't be love. And I would even challenge, and I've said this before, so we know that the New Testament was first translated into Greek. And what the problem that I look at with this, when we look at words like eros and agape and all that, that these are natural Greek words used to try to contribute meaning to what God intended, right? Mm-hmm. So me personally, this is just me, I don't believe that there is different types of love. I believe there's one type of love, and it is expressed differently depending upon the person you are in relationship with. Right. So the type of love that I show how far I can go with my son in as I love him is not the same as how far I can go with my wife as I love him. How is it expressed changes depending upon who it is, but the same qualities should be present no matter who the person is. But the mm-hmm. expression changes depending upon who it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I agree with him that the infatuation, chemistry, vibe will not sustain you in a marriage. I believe that the definition of love that is given in 1 Corinthians 13 is how we do it. Now, I agree with him that is you can only a marriage can only work, be sustained, survive the storms of life through knowledge. And I believe that knowledge first extends to the knowledge of yourself, right? So I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, and we can kind of break it down. But when I read 1 Corinthians 13 as an individual, I have to read it and be honest with the knowledge of, am I as a person willing to give this to somebody else?
Right.
I think that we don't do that, right? When we get married, we just say we feel good, or I can see myself with them forever. And before I can deal with knowledge of them, I have to deal with knowledge of, do I have the capacity to give this person what 1 Corinthians 13 says is love is? And a lot of us are honest, because you think about a lot of men. I don't understand how you can have, there are people that are not married, that they'll buy a house together, they'll have kids together, they'll live together, but they said they're not ready for marriage. And I, as a person, don't understand that. I don't understand that if I'm doing all that with you, might as well go ahead and marry, because if I ever tied to you anyway, right? Why would I buy a house with somebody that I'm not sure that I want to spend the rest of my life with? because that's going to be messy when if we break up, right? Why would I make that big of an investment with somebody that I don't know I want to spend my life with? And so I think that when we're talking about love, I have to first have knowledge of me. Like, Brad, do you really have the capacity to be long-suffering with this person? Do you have the capacity to be kind? And, you know, and then if I just know me, I can say, no, you don't need me telling her I love her, right? Because I already know that at this stage in my life, I don't have the capacity to give that. I remember before me and Pastor Queen, was this before I met you? I think this was before I met Pastor Queen. I was talking to this older lady, and I say lady, but so I was 19, she was 29, right? So
you like the older women, don't you?
We are at two different places in our life, right? And so we were talking, and she was really feeling me, right? And so I was like, cool, let's talk or whatever. But in my mind, even before I was saved, I had the idea of, I told her one day, I said, we can't really rock like this no more because we at two different places in our life. I could wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I don't want to be with you, but you are at 29 years old. You got a son and all that. And I don't want to come into your life and your son's life. And then me being 19, the 19 year old me deciding one day, nah, I just don't want this no more. And I just walk away, right? Because I can, right? And so I think that we have to be honest with ourselves and have knowledge of us first. Sometimes we get into relationship thinking that if I just do it, that everything will work out all right. And that's not how it works. You have to take assessment. Jesus says in the Word of God, he says that no man builds a house without first counting the cost. You have to count the cost as an individual. Do I have knowledge of me? When you really know yourself and are honest with yourself, you can say, nah, I get jealous too easy. So when we begin to look at it, if we take inventory, we can know the number one, with knowing me, I can't give these things right now. So I'm not going to ruin this person's life by trying to make a commitment just because I feel good about them right now. They've been down for me. Sometimes, and you said this, Teacher Sherelle, that sometimes we'll marry somebody because they've been loyal. Well, I can get a dog for that. Right? I can get a dog that'll be loyal. You know, and so I have to be not only look for things out of them, I have to look for things out of me. With the knowledge of me, can I read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through, I believe it's through 7. Can I read this and say, yes, I am able to, honestly, that I'm able to give this to this woman before I marry her. Now, I may not be perfect. I may not do it flawlessly every time. But if I'm unable to fulfill what the Bible says here, because the Bible says that we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So the prerequisite for getting married is that I love her that way already. Right. And then 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the definition of what love is. So if I look at this as a rubric and say, I don't feel that way about them, I'm not willing to do that for her, then that means that I'm not ready to get married. And I think that if people take those assessments, it will be less divorces because there will be less marriages. we would say, for them, I'm not ready to do that for them. And so I would do that. Then after I have knowledge of me, then I have to gain knowledge of her. Right, I have to gain knowledge of her. If I can look at this, say this, and what I mean by knowledge is before I get married, I have to look at her and say, well, she is jealous. Oh, she is. She does try to get even with me when I do something that she don't like. She is boastful and proud a lot. Yeah, she demands her own way. Oh, she don't love me. And I know that that's a hard saying for a lot of people to hear, but the definition is 1 Corinthians 13, and you can look at this and say this person is not doing the majority of this, then the summation or the fact is they don't love you. And I know it is hard because we don't want to hear that. We want to hear this, right? We want to hear that. But if we're saying that God gets to define love and nobody else, then we have to take his definition. And so I have to have knowledge of me and knowledge of them. And when I look at them, okay, this person do get jealous a lot. This person demands their own way, got to go their way all the time. And I start adding up what God says is the measuring rod for what love is. Even if they say that, yeah, let's get married, I have to say, no, I can't marry you because you don't love me. No, you don't. God says what love is. You don't get to define it. So why don't, ain't I been there all this time? It don't matter if you've been here all the time. It don't matter if you feel like we have a good rapport. It doesn't matter if it feels like we're compatible. When I measure up to love, I can look at it and say through knowledge, right? Through knowing you, you don't love me. You don't. And so it's okay though. It's okay because I want you to be with somebody that you love. And if you ain't, if the definition of love is 1 Corinthians 13, and you don't, your actions are not these things towards me, you don't love me, right? You don't love me, and it's okay. And I think that's where Najla goes in, that he, I believe that Dr. Mazaro overarching point when it comes to the kingdom is that this hoochie coochie love that I'll call it, it's not love at all. It's infatuation. It's all of these things. It's as Pastor Queen said, it's taking your drawers off. It's all those things, but it is not love. And so when we get back to God, if I'm going to live in the kingdom of God, it means that we have a different constitution, meaning that we have different, if you go to Japan and you show somebody the bottom of your shoe, that's an insult to them. If you meet them and don't bow, that's an insult to them. So there is a different definition for what respect is depending upon what kingdom you're in. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the kingdom of Christ, though the world may say that love is this, no, and we're in the kingdom now. I'm no longer in the world. The Bible says we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And so what that means is that we have to relearn the definitions that God has set as the definition, because I'm in a different kingdom now. Right. And so I have to abide by the rules of that. And that means that we have to look at love according to how God's defined it. So before I move on into reading 1 Corinthians 13, we kind of break it down a little bit, because I think this is good for people to know that whether you're in a relationship and even being honest with ourselves, that maybe our marriage has failed in the past or we've been divorced before. And you got to be honest about the knowledge of, because we should learn from all of our experience. You got to know, did you really love them? And did they really love you? Because sometimes we can blame the person and not even realize that, no, I really didn't love them. According to 1 Corinthians 13, no, I gave them something, but I didn't really love them. I was giving them something, you know, and it could have failed because of us. But guess what? We can learn from that and reset. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And so we have to look at it this way. So before I move on, does anybody have anything you want to add?
No,
so,
nothing. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask, so for those people that are like dating, so if they are going by scripture about what love is, and you know, measuring, you know, seeing if people and studying people that they're dating and see if they are measuring up, when, like, what about like people like accepting people flaws, or like what would you say to, like, you, because everybody not perfect, right? So what would you say to people that's dating and like, well, how do I pick some at, you know what I'm saying, like they may show me, because I feel like another thing that the world say that I think that they are completely wrong about is saying like love is blind. And I feel like love is not blind. God is not blind. And so he love sees all and chooses to love. So like, what's the fine line about people's flaws? And I think a part of that is like what you said, like being self-aware to know, I don't know if I can't handle this and I don't want to see you through this. Like, I ain't got time for that. And that's love to me, to be honest about that, to keep it real and say like, nah, bro, I can't deal with that. Like, you know, just little things. So what would y'all say to that? That you know, people that's dating that want to do it the kingdom way and do it the way God laid it out. How do you do that?
So I would say that we approach it the same way God does. God does not, God knows that as we obey him and walk with him and gain knowledge of him, and because of our love for him, we do things that we're not going to do it perfectly, right? But perfect, not doing it perfectly does not change the posture of our heart. So God loves us and knows that we love him, not by us dotting every I and crossing every T. It's by our continual attempt to pursue him and do it his way, because we believe that his way is best. And so I think that there is a difference in, and you have to be discerning with the Holy Spirit of a person's heart. Are they stumbling or are they not trying?
Because there's a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you have to continue. And that's why I believe, I think that people jump up and get married too quickly. I think that, no, you, I need to see you in all seasons of life. I need to see you when you mad, when you happy. I need to see you when you ain't got no money and when you got it all going on. I want to see you when you tempted, right? When there's somebody other than me that you find attractive, how do you handle it? I want to see you when you go through things in your life. How do you get angry? How do you treat your mom? How do you treat your dad? I want to see you in different phases. And what happens is, and you have to be careful, somebody that meets you and want to marry you right away, because you don't even love me yet. And so how could you want to marry me unless there's some ulterior motive? And so I think that it is very crucial for every person to look at. You have to check them out. The Bible tells us, even among believers, as fellow just brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. So if I got to know the people that are my brothers and sisters in Christ, of course I got to marry know the person that I'm going to live with. I got to know you too. I got to know you better than I know them. And so that means it takes time, because some things is only revealed through time. And so when you have to set your heart in a place, and a lot of times it comes from our brokenness, we have to set our hearts in a place where their words, and that's why we got to know God for ourselves and allow his words to fill our heart with from the broken places. Because that means when somebody from the outside tries to bring you good words, you don't fall for them. You say, no, I'm looking for what the love is. I'm not looking for you can give me all these words and how fine I am and all of that. But no, let me see this in action. Let me see 1 Corinthians 13 over a long period of time. Not just over, we done been dating for 3 months and now we getting married. No, because I got to know you and I don't know you yet.
I was going to say the same thing. And, you know, once you have made, once you have gathered the summation of that person, you can make a sound decision. You can make decision. So what I love about doing data at work, we can't make decisions without data. Otherwise, you just signing up for stuff and, you know, shooting blanks at this point. Like, you really are like not going in strategic places. And when you have a recollection and an understanding of where you're going, you are looking for a godly complement. You're looking for someone who's going to be going the same direction as you. It don't have to be that your destinies are matched or both of y'all pastors and both. Ain't talking about that. I'm talking about that you both are literally like chasing God and you have your own individuality. Because if you don't, you're going to get sucked in into what I got going on and you're going to lose yourself. And we see plenty of people, you know, who do that. You know what I mean? Like they come into the picture without knowing. And really the other person kind of like it because they got brokenness where they want to control somebody anyway. So there's that dynamic, you know, and then the marriage ain't even completely in the image of what Christ wants. You know what I mean? And if it's supposed to be a representation of how Christ is to the to the body and his bride, then we're not showing that picture. And that's a real true charge right there. But I would say that definitely you get to have, with the data that you've collected that Pastor Brad was talking about and all these different facets and how you with your family and your cousins, you know, really the family dynamic will show you who you are, because you kind of get loose when you with your family. And so that shows like a real moment, or you may get tense with your family. And so that's going to be a talking point. I saw that you ain't talk much and I know you an extrovert, but I saw you, you know, you kind of like close up. What's going on? Trauma? Or you didn't got so loose and you drinking and everything. I ain't know you drink. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? Like the real you shows up somewhere and you get to see that person. You get to, you know, have time to ask questions. Pastor Brad and I, we talked about so much stuff. We talked about life because number one, we was best friends first. I mean, we became best friends. Like it was just so legit and real. You know what I mean? Nobody was coming for nothing. We ain't want nothing from each other. We legitimately was like having like just God conversations of how we can just go from, you know what I mean, from where we are to the next level in God, and just so many different things, which brought up so many different conversations. How are we financially? You know, Brady was able to calculate that I was a spender before, you know what I mean? But it wasn't a deal breaker for him, but he has deal breakers. And so if you're not self-aware of what you can tolerate, what you cannot tolerate, you'll sign up for stuff that you don't have the capacity to walk somebody through.
Yeah.
And if that person is not themselves striving, that's the thing. Like, he knows that, you know, we may have our small argument, but Pastor Brad, I'm sure, is confident that I'm going to end up being dealt with the Lord if I'm wrong in the situation. And I'm going to come back and be like, oh yeah, I was wrong. And because I walk with the Lord. So I consistently walk with the Lord. I have a pattern that transcended starting from when we were friends to when we were dating, and it's still consistent, you know what I mean, in our marriage, that I know that if she gets mad, she'll calm down. Now he do know I'll go to 100 and come down, right? And come down to zero, and everybody else dealing with the aftermath. But it's not the deal breaker. He's like, oh, I know she's gonna change the atmosphere, and then she's gonna come back and recreate a new one. Like, that's just how, you know, that dynamic for me that he contends with. And then of course I contend with stuff with him that is not a deal breaker. I can handle the person of Bradley Johnson. And I am okay with the transformation that he's going to make, because the person that I met as a friend is not the same person today. Right. Because he also has, you know, learned more about himself and is evolving with the Lord and becoming a better version of himself. And the closer that he walks with the Lord, the better person he becomes, not only for himself, but for me.
And so I think that it's just important, like she said, that it's not. And I want everybody that's hearing this to know that it's not about perfection. It's about, I think the biggest thing is about willing to be perfected, right? Mm-hmm. The worst reason that somebody can get married is the next five words I'm about to say. I believe they will change.
Mm.
When you marry somebody with that affirmation or the basis or the foundation for your marriage, you're setting yourself up to have your heart broken over and over and over again, right? Because when there is no standards, like as Pastor Queen said earlier, the people run wild, right? And so when you are marrying somebody on a wish and a hope, you will find yourself disappointed in many a day, right? And it's not about them being perfect, but it's about them, again, we got to take everything else out of it besides 1 Corinthians 13. This person doesn't have the capacity, and it's okay. All of us have had seasons in our life where we didn't have the capacity to love somebody. Come on, somebody. Like we've all, you have to admit to yourself that there's been times, there's been relationships we've been in that we didn't love the persons we were with. We may have had children with them, though we were with them for many years, we didn't love them. And we have to admit it to ourselves, because all of us have had relationships even before and said, wow, I thought I was in love, but now knowing what love really is, I ain't really love them. You know, right. I ain't love that person. But at that time, nobody could tell you because there was feelings involved, but feelings don't necessarily mean love. It just means that you feel something and you misidentified it as love. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm gonna read from the Amplified Classic. So y'all can jump in as we go into this. So 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, love endures long and is patient and kind. And so when I look at this, the first thing that says, I said, love endures. Enduring is not putting up with it, is being consistently the same, right? For a long time. One of the first red flags you can see is that this person cannot be consistently the same for a long time. That's what I mean, y'all. Some people ain't dating people long enough, because dating, ironically, the word dating comes from the root word data. It is the gathering of information.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And so we spend a lot of time. It says that love endures long, meaning that has this person proven over time that they are consistently the same? So let me give you a scenario that I know happens in a lot of marriages, or happens in some marriages, where somebody steps out on you, right? How you regain trust in your marriage is by you being consistently the same for a long time. Right? If you love your spouse and you're trying to regain their trust, that means that you can't say, why don't you just get over it and forgive me? You should have forgiven me. That happened 3 years ago. That ain't the point. If you want to regain their trust, because trust has been broken, right? Love may not have been broken. Trust has been broken. How you show or demonstrate that you love them is by being consistently the same over a long time, right? And so it says love endures long and is patient and kind. There's a difference between being nice and kind. Nice is not, I read this book years ago that said no more Christian nice guy. And it defined niceness. Niceness is telling somebody what they want to hear to spare their feelings. So it could be a lie, it could be untruth, but we'll do it just to make them feel good. Being kind means that I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm gonna do it in a way that is loving, even if it's not what you wanna hear. That's kindness. Kindness is that I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm gonna be upfront with you. And so are you kind with yourself? If love is kind, you have to check yourself. Am I kind to people? Am I kind with myself? Do I just say it because I feel it? Or do I take inventory of how I should present it so that they can receive it from me? That's kindness. Kindness is I don't retaliate just because they said something I don't like. Kindness is I'm going to be consistently the same, even when they're acting crazy. I've made the decision to love them because, again, love is a decision. It's not a feeling. Yes, the feeling is they made me mad, but I've committed myself to love them. I've chosen to love them. So anybody have anyone to add before we move on?
Elvin?
One thing I wanted to jump in, even I was thinking like two, even though it's like talking about gifts and stuff like that, like even in like verse two and in verse one and through three, when it talks about I can speak in tongues, but if I do not have love, then I'm just making noise. Yeah, or it also says if I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all the mysteries and I have all the knowledge, but I don't have love or I have faith and I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. And so it's like even what we're talking about tonight, like even with having all the knowledge, if you don't have God's love, then you still, you know, and one thing I think about for us is like, we had to, cause we started off like that. We started off in a way that was like, this ain't love. This ain't it. We got, so it took us going to the word and surrendering, getting counseling from godly counsel and doing a surrender so that God can now teach us how to have true love, how to have his, how to operate in love, in God's love. And that, even though yes, we had chemistry, compatibility, we had all of that, right? But eventually it ran out and we was looking at each other like, what we gonna do? But I think about, and so with that, coming from that side, saying if I don't have love, I have nothing. But then, and then it tells you, okay, so love is patience. So I just think that's interesting. Like you can have all these gifts and operate in so much, operate in the spirit, yet still not have patience, still not be kind. Like this is so good. And so even in our marriage, we had to come to this and like be like, wait a minute, I can be kind to a whole lot of people outside, but when I come home, I'm the worst. Like he gets no kindness. And then I felt like I was being patient. And then we had to look at each other like, I be ready to kick him out every day. Like putting his bands out every time you do something. Like that wasn't it. You know what I'm saying? We had to change. What you about to say?
Ain't had none of them right.
You know what, Sherelle, I was thinking about? That's how people are in abusive relationships and they have mixed information. Because they think that they are in a loving relationship, but they're being abused. So you can buy me flowers all day, but I can't have you punch me in my face and then buy me flowers.
Exactly. Because it ain't love.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's love.
And so when you look at it that way, I think about, it's good that you brought that up, Teacher Sherelle, because I think about how God is so awesome. He's so strategic because God, you know, this was written thousands of years ago. And yet it still applies to today because there's so many preachers, both men and women, that can preach the house down and lay hands on the sick and prophesy and all of that. Yeah. And God never cares about how much you can perform for him more than he cares about how much you can live for him. Mm. And so when you look at this, if you don't love people, right, and you don't love your spouse, I know a lot of preachers that are excellent in behind the pulpit, but they're terrible husbands or terrible wives. Right. And so God's saying you're making all this noise, but if it's not in your heart, because you're doing all this external stuff, if this is not in you. All you're doing is making noise, right? You're making noise. You're not even a rounded person. You're not even walking in love, because love is not just saying, I love you. Love is how you demonstrate it, and it's from the inside out. Mm. And so the next part says, love is not never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. So if you're dating somebody that always get mad, they accuse you of looking at everybody, right? They think everybody wants you. You're looking at everybody. That's a sign. You want to check that and address that, because that's a sign that they're struggling in their love for you. Because if I know that God, if I know that God loves me, right? It's nothing wrong with saying that I want your attention. But when it causes you to explode, like this says, to boil over with jealousy, because the Bible says God is a jealous God. He longs for us. He wants us to see him as our one and only. But when it boils over, when you go off and get mad and fly off the handle, they're struggling in their love for you. And you got to address it. You got to be honest with yourself and honest with them. No, you're struggling with that. You boil over. My God, you saw that she blind and she looked at me and you thought she wanted me.
Mm-hmm. And that's because of insecurity. And nothing you do will make an insecure person satisfied.
Right.
You can gain your, what you call them? You can rip your eyeballs out and they will still think that you can see.
Yeah. You can wear a burqa, right? Which is the cover of your eye and nothing but your eyes showing. They still think you're showing too much. Right. They don't love you. Come on, we gotta be honest. They don't love you. They may not know how, but they don't. They feel something for you, but they don't love you. And sometimes another thing that we didn't throw out there earlier is that may not be love, it may just be control.
Oh yeah.
There's somebody looking for what they feel for you is you easy to control. You're their project.
Ooh.
And so it ain't love, it's control. You're the person that I've decided, because love is a decision. I'm not loving you, you're the person I decided I'm gonna control. And so you easy to manipulate and all that, so you go be the person that control. It says that is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. So what does that look like in a marriage?
My God.
When you write, you gotta let the whole house know you write.
Yeah.
And keep throwing up, remember last time I was absolutely right. And or when you know that the person has been wounded, right, in a situation where they made a poor choice, and you gotta walk around with your chest poked out and telling them how, see, I told you so. That's not love. That ain't love. When you gotta tell them, they know they were wrong. Most people that have a sound mind know that if they blew it. And love doesn't, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. It don't bring back up in their face, see, I told you, you old dummy. You done made us, you done this, look at you. Or either this, that you looking, you, and here's how it looks subtly. Here's some subliminal. They get the decision, they get the news that what they did went wrong. And then you cut your eye at them to see if they looking, what you waiting for them to look at you. So you can say, right? You ain't said nothing, but your body language, your communication through your body says, I'm haughtily holding it over you. Mm-hmm. Or they go to make another decision. You said, remember what happened last time? Come on, that's boastful. And the Bible says that when you love somebody, you don't do that. You may bring it up, but the way, again, like y'all said earlier, the Holy Spirit brings wisdom and said, babe, let's think through this a little bit more before we do that. But it's not about them being wrong or you being right. It's about making the best decision for you all. So boastful is when you want to let them know you were right and they were wrong. Even if they made it wrong, when you're in love with the person or walking in love with the person, you said, baby, let's think through this more. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about making the best decision. It takes the focus off of the individuals and put it on the subject of what you all are trying to do.
Right.
But when you put it on individual, then somebody will be up and somebody will be down. See, look at me. I told you. You should have went with what I said from the beginning. Come on. Come on. That's not in love.
Being boastful in a situation where, like, maybe you make the most money, or, you know, you pay the most bills, and you be down your partner saying, oh, I was guilty of that back before I got the Holy Spirit. So I was very guilty of that. Like, I make the most money. You ain't no, like, just beating them down so much and being so boastful about what I do. And I was in pride all the time and just hovering over him all day long, like just a nag, just a nagging woman. And so
I was think, on the roof.
So I think that's a part of it too, like just being arrogant in your relationship and not working as a team, not seeing out of, like not working to see out of out, or at least come to a compromise, like just having that I do everything, I'm always right, I take care of everything, this is me, it's my way or the highway, like that type of arrogant boastfulness kill a relationship, and it doesn't allow the other person to flourish or grow or develop or thrive.
Right. So another one, it said, number five, verse five says, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. This would be equated to flying off the handle. Does your spouse or do the person you're dating, or do you? Are you a person to say whatever's coming to your mind, no matter how it may affect the other person? You don't love them. You're struggling in your love for them. If you feel as though you can say whatever you want to say to them with no regard for their feelings, their emotions, their well-being, you have to question whether you love them or if you're being loved by somebody. Because it's a way to say everything, right? Like my wife can put on something, I can say, baby, I don't think that's the one, right? But when you come out and say, Greg, Dave, no, Lord, no, Jesus, you like a can of biscuits that has exploded, Lord, no, that's rude. That's unbecomingly. Come on. Or if you get mad and go off all the time, if you have explosion, I feel sorry for people who have is married to somebody who they explode all the time. The wrong thing you can say is like walking on around in a minefield where you don't know what things can be said that's going to set them off. And when they get set off, they go all the way off. That's not love. That's not love. That's not love. And let me keep reading to this part. It says, I love God's love and does not insist on its own rights and is not in its own way, for it is not self-seeking. So I know so many marriages where the people in the marriage is all about making one person happy. And if you're in a marriage with somebody who never asks you, what do you want? What do you desire? What do you require? And then they take active actions to help you to make that happen. They're struggling in their love for you. They may not admit it to you, but they are. Or if you're a person where you never ask your spouse, what do you want to do? What is your dreams? What is your goals? What has the Lord said to you? And I say this all the time when it comes to marriages. Your wife, and I'll say this for men because I know more men this way than women. God has put more in your wife than to be your maid, your nanny, and your sex slave. I'll say it again. God has put more in your wife than to be your maid, your nanny, and your sex slave. And most men don't say that, but when you reduce your wife to those are the roles that she can play, what I mean by nanny, that means the nanny takes care of the children. The nanny makes sure the children is kept clean and that the house is clean. If those three things, like if you have somebody that, because my thing is that my wife has to be more for me than somebody that I could hire to do that. So if I can hire somebody to cook and clean, if I can hire somebody that could make sure the children are taken care of, and if I can hire somebody that can give me some, and those are the only things that my wife that I want my wife for, then I don't have a wife. I have a nanny, a maid, and a sex slave. And so when those are the only roles that she can play in your life, then there is a problem, there is an issue. You don't have a wife, that's what you have. And so I always go into it being mindful of, baby, what is the vision that God has given you for your life? How can I help you to make that happen? Because it's not self-seeking. It's not all about me. It's not all about my vision. It's not all, and you're just a player in it, because then I could have married anybody. Then because all I was looking for is a body. I wasn't looking for a companion and somebody to walk beside me. I was looking for a body and a seat. Right. And I was looking for a maid, a nanny, and a sex slave. That's what I was looking for. And so there's so many, and you'll be surprised. I mean, I'm not, but I know a lot of Christian men, kingdom men, who treat their wives that way. I want you barefoot, pregnant, raising my kids. And that's all that. And don't even ask, well, what is the vision of God for your life? What, because so that means that he, so it, how it means by self-seeking is you believe that God put her on the earth just to serve you. Because think about it, if that's all she can be, then that means that God put nothing in her that was a vision from him to do anything in her life. She was just made for you and was just made to do whatever you wanted her to do your will. You become the God in her life. And so love, that's not love. Because love is not self-seeking. It doesn't demand, no, you can do what I want. I'm the head. I'm the head. I'm gonna do, you gonna do exactly what I want you to do. It's not self-seeking. It realizes that God poured himself into me, into a man and a woman. And that means that there's visions that God has given her. And if he bought, if I say God brought us together, that means that we are meant, because to be the head or to submit means to get under as unto support, right? And so that means that there'll be time, the Bible says submit, also says submitting to one another. That means that there'll be times that I got to submit to her and say, baby, what is the vision God has given you? Now it's my turn to support. I'm going to get under whatever you're doing. So if I got to do more around the house, that's fine. I'll do that because I'm not self-seeking. I love you. And loving means I don't demand my way. Even though I want to do some things, baby, I can wait. I'll wait my turn. It says it's patient, right? I'll wait my turn, baby. It's your time to shine. It's your time to go forth. What do y'all want to add?
I like dealing with the head moment because it's what people don't realize is that they don't understand that Jesus has redeemed us to us to a place of making everything right. Right. And we having to surrender to now this new order that Jesus has done. And so a lot of times we still do post fall stuff. And when you see the ranking of that, the woman had to submit and all that, that was a part of the curse that's coming because of the fall. But when you really look at the beginning, like pre-fall, he clearly brought her from the side for them to work together. So in actuality, if we want to be like technical about it, both are really, who's really the head of the house is God. And then it's me and Bradley. And then it's the chairman, and that's it. You know what I mean? But when you, because God knew how we was going to be because of the fall, he said, oh, this is the fight y'all going to have now. And for some reason, we've adopted it as culture and as this is the kingdom way. And so we still have doctrines and full-blown churches that still help facilitate that, what Pastor Brad said, that the woman is supposed to, and you reduce her to these roles. When God did not ever say anywhere in the Bible about she's supposed to be the one washing the dishes, clean the whole house, and he needs to go. No, that was like from the revolution time. And you know what I mean? Like we have adopted generational, cultural paradigms. And we never said, what did God say again? Because he did not make that outline. Why? Because technically he said, y'all are creating your own thing that works for you too. So you may have the spouse, you know, you may have the husband where he becomes the one that's at home taking care of the kids and, you know, he's, you know, and it might be kind of reversed and it's okay. I remember when I saw Bradley's aunt, she loves to, you know, cut grass, which is amazing because I never really have known women to like love to cut grass. But it's not a role that we would associate that with. It's a man's job to cut grass. Yeah. It's like it's in our mentality, but that's not real.
And think about this, if a woman was only meant to be your maid, your nanny, and your sex slave, then God wouldn't have given her a soul. Because the soul is the will, the intellect, the emotions. If she's just meant to serve you, she would have no need for a will, because she wouldn't want nothing but what you want. She wouldn't need emotions, because it doesn't matter what she feels, she's just there to serve you. And she wouldn't need an intellect. She don't need to think for herself. She just need to do what you tell her to do. So if the Lord gave her a soul, that means that there was something that he wanted to do through her that may be independent or in complement to you. And so when you reduce it to those things, what you're really doing is denying who God made her to be. And you're suppressing who God made her to be, because God gave her a soul, a will, an intellect, and emotions.
Yeah.
You have anything y'all want to add, Jaspers?
And I was thinking about how love, if we think about Christ, like love is a sacrifice too. Like we can't be always self-seeking. We got to look to sacrifice, to compromise, so that you can become all that God has intended you to be, and I can become all, you know what I'm saying? It's like a, it's, and if you are, if you can imagine two people, you know, doing what they doing all they can to honor each other and sacrifice for each other and looking out for each other, and not just be all about I gotta make sure I'm straight, I gotta make sure I get all the money for myself, I gotta make sure you give me everything that I need. Like that's it's not love. You're not sacrificing nothing, you're not laying down yourself for the sake of your brother, of your husband. So it's I didn't mean to hit you hard, but so it's just like, you have to watch for those things and make sure, like, you have to take self-assessment, like we say, like, am I even checking to see, like, have I even thought of, you know, something outside of myself recently, you know, because life happens, and life happens, right, where we get caught up in, you know, pursuing and working and all of that. But you have to take an assessment. Okay, I'm at work all the time and I haven't poured into his life. I have some, we have to make time, we have to sacrifice, I may have to sacrifice going out with my homies so I can pour into my man. I might have to, you know, right, what I'm saying, pour into you. You might have to, you know, pay to sacrifice and pay a babysitter so y'all can take a date night out. Like it's, I think love is sacrificing, that you want to lay down your own, you know, all of your ways sometimes to make sure that the other person is being filled too. And so, yeah. You got anything?
Yeah. And so the next part of verse 5 says, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. And that's so good, because you see this in marriages all the time, where people keep a record of wrongs. Remember when you did this in 1986? I'm still holding it on you. Oh, remember when? Or it's not touchy. Some of y'all, sometimes if we think that we loving people, and they can't say nothing to us. The thing that gets under my skin is that when I see people that act like they don't even like the person they're married to, and my thought is, why are you with them if you don't like who they are as a person? You knew who they were before you married them. And so you married them, and now you can be sitting in a room with them and somebody else could say something to you and you can answer a certain way, but when they do it, it's like you hate their guts. I don't understand that. You don't love them. You don't. And I don't know, what are we doing? We're together just to say that we're together, but we don't love, because love is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. Mm-hmm. No, I talk to him that way because he ignorant of this and another. That's resentful. It doesn't matter. And here's the thing I heard Cruffo Dollar say years ago. How you love your spouse has nothing to do, your business is not how your spouse treats you. Your business is how you treat them, because that's what you're standing, that's what you I stand accountable for. And so love means that I'm not fretful, I'm not touchy. I'm not resentful of my wife, or I'm not holding something on. And sometimes we can say, well, I ain't said nothing, but in your heart, you're holding it against them. Come on, you still thinking about what they did in 95. Y'all been married for 40 years and you still holding on to 95. And my thought is always this: if you're not gonna let it go and it's gonna affect your relationship, why don't you just leave them? Why did you stay? And it's almost like it's resentful because you stayed to make sure they weren't happy. Because why stay with somebody you go mistreat? You know, it's the same thing. And I'll say this, I don't understand. This is something that irks me. And Sherelle and Elvin, y'all have done a great job of this. I don't understand. And this is, y'all situation is a little bit different, but it kind of melds in. I don't understand. Where you see somebody who has a child outside of their wife, like say they had a baby on their wife, right? And the wife will stay, but tell her husband, don't have anything that, I don't want you to bring that child around me. I don't understand that at all. Because if this is your child and I stayed as your spouse, then I gotta accept everything that came with you because I stayed. Right. It doesn't mean that me and the mother or the father may not be best friends or be on the best terms at all times. But as a believer, how can I say that you can't, you don't have anything to do with this child, or don't bring this child around, because I stayed. If I was going to have a problem with the child, I should have left, right? I should have, at the time, I should have left. But if I say that I love you and I say that I've forgiven you, if it was something to happen in our marriage, then I have to make the decision that I'm going to take all that come with it. But if I'm going to hold the record of wrongs and say, no, I done forgiven her, it just hurts me to see them. Why? The child didn't do anything to you. It should hurt you to see the baby mama, not the child, because the child wasn't here. The child didn't do anything. So why is there an issue with the child? And as a man, and I'm talking to men right now, as a man, how do you let a woman tell you not to have anything to do with your child? Let her go, because all you're doing is messing up that child. Because what does it look like? Y'all taking family photos and you posting them all on social media and all of that, and they not in the picture. You talking about these my kids, and you, except one is missing, and you act like they don't exist. And for a wife to demand that, or a husband to demand it, how do you love that? You don't love that person. You punishing them by staying so they can't have a fulfilling life. That ain't love. That's vengeance. That's vindictive. And you have to, come on, think about what your love is. Anybody have anything you want to add?
That's so good, Pastor Brad, because and for us it was opposite, where I was like, I can't do it. Like, please go get your girls. We'll do whatever it takes. Like, please. And we had our issues over the years. That's why, like, we love talking about relationships and marriage and stuff, because we had to go through so much stuff. But like, we went through that. Like, I'm like, do whatever you have to take, because I cannot be with a man that's not a father, you know, not a good father to his children. You have to go above and beyond, especially for girls. I was thinking about girls, like, and what that means, and even all children really, but especially with girls. And then we having our sons here, I'm like, man, we gotta fix this. We gotta do whatever it takes. And it wasn't perfect. We had to go over some humps. We made some bumps. We made some mistakes on all sides, but we had to get that in order for us to walk in the fullness of who God called us to be. Because I just don't like that. I don't want to be ministering to people out in the street and trying to help people. And here I am, like, we got kids that we don't deal, like, that would be like I couldn't sleep. And we've had many, just with the issues of, you know, of being a Black man and his background and stuff. He was like, you know, he didn't want to go to the system and try to, he didn't want to go through all that. But man, we had so many arguments, yeah, like, trying to push him.
Yeah, it was more like, it won't never a point of me just not wanting to be there. It was just so many hurdles I had. And then,
and I'm like, jump the hurdles, jump the hurdles.
But at that time, I was still stuck in the mindset of, I ain't going to no courthouse. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm dealing with other stuff. Like, I'm still dealing with brokenness of being in the street, and all that ignorance was still in my head. Like, and like, now I don't care. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, but thank God I have a wonderful relationship with all of my children. Like, so it's like, God just came through and just straightened everything. But it came, I know I had to become Corinthians 13 to myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that was my main issue. Like, the reason why I allowed so much, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when she say, you know, she was this way, like, it was because I felt like I deserved it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
punishing yourself.
See, like, the old me, I wouldn't have put up with nothing. Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have, like, two prior baby, you know what I'm saying, mothers of children with other mothers, you know what I'm saying? That, like, little, I'm out, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, when I got with her, and just having the dynamics of having family was different to me, and I really wanted to pursue it. But when things didn't go right, I felt like I deserved it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm chasing this family. I'm not even in the right state of mind to have all of these things that I want. You know what I'm saying? But when it didn't go right, I just chalked it up to I deserve it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's because of all the things that I did in my past.
And we had I had to have a conversation with him, like, bro, you gotta love yourself. Cause if you don't love yourself, we can't love each other, and you sure enough not gonna love me, right? And the problem is you have to love yourself first. One of the things that was a big issue is you have to love yourself first enough to say, like, I'm not tolerating this. If you don't like something, don't hold it in for year after year, have an explosion out of nowhere. Nah, say what you need so I can know what I'm doing. I feel like a lot of marriages, like we was talking about, it's so touchy where you can't even bring up an issue. You can't even have a conversation about what's going wrong to correct. And so what we have to do as people is we have to, we talked about before, we have to become safe to each other and sacrifice being right, sacrifice our egos, sacrifice always having to have the word and go ahead and let each other talk about what we need and get it out in a gentle way, in a kind way, of course, but have the hard conversation to be able to say, man, this ain't, I can't function like this. I feel like we have to be able to have a conversation. And when I was realizing, like, oh my gosh, when we look at this, you don't love yourself. I don't love myself because I still got issues going on. I'm not fully loving myself because I still don't fully believe God. Another thing I was realizing, like, oh my God, here I am. Cause I was going to church before he was, and I was going to church and stuff and hearing the word, but yet I'm allowing the devil to use me to tear him down. I was giving the devil a foot. I was participating in the enemy's plot to bring him down, to accuse him, to keep him stuck. Like, I was participating with the enemy, though I was every Sunday and every Tuesday and Saturday, I was at church. And it was like, what's really going on? So we had to take the time to really had that conversation and go ahead.
Well, it was for me, really, it was my first, like, real encounter with God. Like, that put me on a whole nother level. Like, because once I seen that he really came down to, you know, to see about me, like, to say, I want, you know what I'm saying? I love you. I don't care what your wife is saying. I don't care what nobody else is saying. I want to let you know, you know what I'm saying? I want to personally introduce myself and let you know that I'm here and you are my child and I love you. Yeah. And I want you to love yourself. Like, so when he did that, it was just different for me. Like, it was like, I just felt like I couldn't tolerate anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, under this feeling that I feel now, I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't rock with it. Like, it's like, because it's different. It's like, if you, for anybody that, you know, have encounters with God, like, just like real encounters, like, it's different. So to get the attention, to get the affection, to get the touch of God for real, like, that's a love, you know what I'm saying? That's different, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So once I started, that built the foundation of me really finding love in myself, like, love, you know, finally, like, you are special, you are called, you can be something, your life can change. And I watched it actually manifest in my life, in my marriage, just financially, just everything, like, you know what I'm saying? It just, and then I found myself actually becoming everything that my wife complained about, like, you know what I'm saying? All the things that she had an issue with, by me loving myself, I became all of those things.
An encounter.
From an encounter. And it was, and then it was to show her that, you know, God still loved her also. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because, of course, she was thinking, maybe I was led astray, or maybe I didn't hear God right. You know what I'm saying? And so she's questioning her decision. So then God also is showing her that, okay, I was waiting, you know what I'm saying? I was waiting for y'all to see that y'all needed help and that y'all needed me.
Mm-hmm.
So once we found out that we needed him, now let me bring everything to you. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you why this happened. why that happened. You know what I'm saying? Why y'all together? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's mm-hmm. real. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's why I was saying, you need God's love. God's love has to be the foundation, because even with all the, like, I was getting knowledge about marriage and all that, but it still wasn't, the wisdom, the discernment, like you said, Pastor Queen, it was not there. So I did not know how to apply none of it. And I was trying to make this robot of a man, and I didn't realize, oh no, that's God's son too. That's God's child, and God has to do the work in him. And I'm here to assist and help him, but I can't expect him to make me happy. Like,
that's good.
Be self-seeking, like always. Yeah, you got to do everything I need you to do so I can be happy. No, when I realized I was unhappy with myself, that I did not have, you know, I was unsatisfied with myself, and I was projecting it to him. Okay, now we both got to work on ourselves individually, and then from there we was able to do the work. And so when I'm self-aware, when God started dealing with me about my stuff, okay, now we can have different conversations about what's going on. You know what I'm saying? When I this is what I see, is this how you feel? You know, the conversation began to change because I was able to deal with my own stuff too. So
Before you go, I just want to say, like, another thing, like, that I feel like is a definite sign of love is when it actually pleases you to please your spouse. Mm-hmm. See, for me, she might be like, what I need to do, like, you know what I'm saying? Because before I was financially straight, like, yeah, I used to go above and beyond. And it might look to other people like I'm trying to fill a void. But now that I actually am everything that she needs, I still do the same thing. It's because it actually makes me happy to make her happy. Yeah, I wasn't doing it because I was forced. I was doing it because I really wanted to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm tired, I'm still want to please my wife. Like, I still want to. It's something about her smiling that does something for me. You know what I'm saying? And I can't really explain it. It's just how it is when you really love somebody. Yeah. When you really love somebody, it's not even about, you don't have to worry about seeking out them doing everything to make you happy. It's when it actually pleases you. It actually makes you happy when you do something to make them happy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the way I feel.
Amen. Amen. So verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in injustice or in unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. This is a huge thing for marriages, because you can't say that you love somebody and then rejoice when something evil happens, or wish for something evil to happen. You know, there's couples that tell each other, I hate you, I hope this happened to you, hope this happened. How? You don't love them. You don't love them. And this is great, because I said God is very strategic. This speaks to all things that when it comes to people that say they are in love, and I believe that they feel something, but when people that say they're in love with the same sex. So this says love does not, or another word we can use is cannot, rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness. Now, I'm talking about kingdom. If you're in the world, you can, you know, that you do whatever. But as kingdom citizens, it says what God calls unrighteous, we can't find love in. Am I reading that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. And so as a couple, I can't do evil to my wife and rejoice and feel good about it and say I love her. If I feel love about getting back or doing something to her to make her mad or to ruin her day, or, you know, people be married to people and they cheat on each other and if somebody cheat to get back at the other one and all that, that ain't love. I don't know. Y'all got something, but it ain't love. Y'all may got a twisted perversion where y'all cheat on each other and still staying together, right? But it's not love, because it can only be love when it rejoices when truth wins out. It can't be love if you rejoice when it's evil and it's unrighteous. Let's move this a little bit further. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are fadeless under all, not some, but all circumstances, and endures everything without weakening. So let me explain this. I don't want anyone to hear this and think that it means that you got to take anything. It means that even if we break up, I don't stop loving you the same way. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. So it means that the thing that bothers me is that when I see people that when once married and you said that you were in love with them or whatever you call it, even I'm talking about the kingdom specifically, and then you hate their guts now. So if I'm, that's why I say that it's not, the Greek definition is not the full definition. God said we should do this for everybody. It says that if I love you, I should want to see right happen to you, whether you're with me or not. Right? Now, there are certain things in relationship that it will cause us to fall out of close relationship, but I shouldn't stop loving you. Come on, I should still want well to be done to you. I shouldn't become touchy with you because I said that I loved you. And so that don't change. It just means that we're not in the same form of relationship that we were at one time. Right? The Bible says that if somebody cheats on you, you seek the Lord about it, and the Lord said you can depart, you can get a divorce. The Bible says that if the person wants to leave you, if the unbeliever wants to depart, let them go. Amen. But them departing from me and divorcing me doesn't mean I stop loving them. Now, love doesn't mean that I want to be married to you again.
Yeah.
But love means that I'm still kind to you. I'm not fretful. I'm not touchy. Oh, come on, somebody.
Or rude.
Come on. You got kids with this person. You only had 8 kids together. And now because y'all ain't together, you telling people how much you hate them and you trying to get even and all that. That you can't be in the kingdom and say you love them. You don't love them. I love them. I don't like them. Well, love still is action whether you like them or not. Sometimes I don't like my son. But I still love him and do the same thing whether I'm in a moment of not liking him or not. I'm going to do the same things because I love him. And so what happens is we change up. When the Bible says, no, this is a definition for love. You can't say that you love this person and be touchy and fretful and unkind to them.
Keeping right or wrong.
And demand your own way. And all the, whether you are married to them or not, yeah. And your relationship dynamic may change the proximity, but you're mandated to love them, right? Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and superseded by truth. So I just want to say just this final thing, and then you all can close out any way that you wish. I think that it is very important for us to fully gain what it means to love people. In relationship, I know we're talking about marriage tonight, but we have to make a decision to study what it means, what love is, and then take assessment of, am I doing this for everybody in my life, and specifically my spouse? So how when you brought it up earlier, I believe it was Elvin, why do marriages in the church fail? I believe that one or both people stop loving. Because I believe what God is saying through the scripture that if you have two people that are in the kingdom of God, that both are committed to loving, not by what the world says, not by what their emotions says, but by what this says, there's no way that they can't make it. Never giving up, being kind, not trying to get even. Come on, keeping no record of wrongs. Come on, doing all. If both parties, that's what the key is. One party stops, and that's what caused people to get a divorce. But if both people say, I'm going to keep a record of wrongs, I'm going to be kind to you. I'm not going to demand my own way that you got to do it my way. Come on, I'm not going to be boastful. God says, this is the if you're going to love each other this way. If you keep doing this with each other, y'all will make it. You may feel like giving up right now, but it says that love never fails and never gives up. No, we will keep on operating this thing because love is an operation. It's not a feeling. We're going to operate this thing. I'm going to love you. I'm gonna love you, and if we keep this going, we're gonna make it. Because it says that it doesn't demand your own way means that you don't hold on to your way so much that you're unwilling to change, which is huge. It says you don't demand that it gotta go this way. Being willing to not hold on to your own way means that you're willing to change. And that's the hugest thing happening in marriages. If you got two people willing to change, y'all can survive anything.
Right.
I'm done. What y'all got?
I got nothing.
It was explained. You can't break the word down anymore. Like, it is so
simple. Right. I would say that yes, exactly. I would just say walk in love with God, walk in love with yourself, walk in love, brotherly love with other people, even while dating, walk in love to know and be truthful and be honest and be kind to people even while dating, and then let God, I just believe that, you know, for all who seeking marriage and all, that you will find what you're looking for. And I think that in marriage, if we just continue, like you just said, just continue to walk in love, I believe that love, God's love, the all-encompassing love, the sacrificial love is enough. And with that comes everything else: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, connection, all of that comes. But love, definitely, the all-encompassing God's love is the standard, the foundation, and it is enough.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank you all for joining us tonight, because, you know, as we say all the time, marriage is more than paper. It's more than a piece of paper. It's a walk. It's a commitment. It's a beautiful thing in God. That's why we should make an assumption or a conscious effort to understand. Every believer should be studying 1 Corinthians 13 to find out what love is. And then when you go looking for a mate, you go looking for that. And when you're dating somebody, you're looking for that. Not that they're doing it perfectly, but they're striving for it. And if they're not striving, they're not the person to marry because they don't love you yet. And not saying they can't change, but don't marry them until they change. Don't get married on a wish or a hope that one day they go finally get together. Oh no, 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 no. And here's the thing, outside of unrighteous things, everybody got deal breakers. Yours may not be mine, right? I couldn't date nobody that smoked cigarettes, right? You may can do it, but I can't, right? And so everybody has deal breakers that are not, we should all have the same standard for righteousness, but outside of righteousness, everybody has deal breakers. And if you can't do it, don't marry them saying, well, I'm just going to do it because they really are fond of me. Don't get desperate. Well, I'm this age and I ain't married yet. They like me. Baby, if they don't love you, don't marry him. Bruh, if she don't love you, if she jealous, you can't talk to your mama on the phone because she think you got to talk to some other woman. Don't marry because your life will be hell. I'm telling you, don't marry. My God, you can't talk to your cousin. She ready to fight your cousin at the cookout because she hugged you and y'all first cousins. Come on, there are people like that. There are people like that. You can't talk to nobody on the phone, can't even look. You got to look up in the ceiling tiles in a restaurant to make sure you're not looking at no man. Sis, don't marry him. He don't love you. He's struggling in his love. And you're going to pay for what he's struggling with, or you're going to pay for what she's struggling with. So thank you for joining us tonight. And we really appreciate you.